Please take your Bibles and turn in them with me. We're going to start at our New Testament reading. John chapter 1, verse 1, page 1127. We'll read John 1, 1 through 5, then we'll turn to Genesis, Genesis 1. We begin a sermon series through the book of Genesis. We won't cover, the plan isn't at this point to cover the entire book of Genesis in one series, but we'll probably break it up in several. But we'll start with Genesis 1. But first, we'll read from John. John 1, verse 1. People of God, hear now the holy words of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then turning back to Genesis, found on page 1 of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1, and we'll read this account of the entire creation week, so we'll read through chapter 2, verse 3. But our focus will be on that first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful. And multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. A congregation, the beginning of something is important. Think of building a house, some other building, a skyscraper. The first thing that's built, the foundation, it must be correct. Or think of a marriage. The courtship, first years of marriage are so important for laying the groundwork for the couple, the future family, even of generations. Or think of a baby in the womb. Those first 9 months of life. It's when the child is knit together. So much happens then that leads to the future life of this child. Well, it's like that with what we have before us this morning, the beginning of the Bible. It's the account of the beginning of all that is, of creation, of the cosmos. Now, these words were inspired by God himself, penned by Moses, designed to set the stage for the hundreds, perhaps thousands of pages, depending on your Bible, and thousands of years that would follow. Now, with this verse, this first verse, Genesis 1:1, I proclaim to you this morning, God begins a glorious story. God begins a glorious story. And first, we consider the story's timing. The story's timing. Now, the Bibles we use, they're separated into not only books, but chapters and verses. In general, these chapters and verses were made by man after the Bible was written in order to help us in finding a passage. They did not come from the mouth of God or the pen of the inspired writer that way, with some exceptions. So when we find in our English Bible that Genesis is separated, you look at it, children, if you'd page over, you'd find 50 chapters. And each of those chapters divided into a number of verses. Well, that's somewhat artificial. If you would read through the entire book, you would find that God divided Genesis into sections or chapters. Other than Genesis 1, verse 1 through our chapter 2, verse 3, Genesis is separated into 10 sections. Those sections begin in about the same way. These are the generations. These are the generations of. Those provide the chapters, so to speak, of the story God inspired Moses to write in this first book of the Bible. And it is a story that is being told. Now, this is not a book of theology, although there is much theology in it. It's not a book of law, although it touches upon law. It's not a book of science, although it touches upon science. Even though this story is real history, it's not like our history textbooks. It's a story. A story that has happened in real history, according to real science, in our reality, our world, but it's structured, presented as a story. There's a purpose for telling it. There's a purpose that develops within the story itself. And this story is not just Genesis, but it includes, because God is the author of all the Bible, God is the author of reality, it encompasses reality, encompasses all of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. All of Genesis is divided, though, into those 10 sections, except for this first chapter. But this first chapter is part of that story. It's the introduction to the story. It lays the groundwork for the story that follows. It is the introduction that is creation. Now, we think of our history books, and they often have specific years and even months. Well, this story, a true story, a historical story, it begins at the beginning of time itself. We read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, some people wrongly think that what is recorded in the Bible, specifically the book of Genesis, especially this first chapter of Genesis, they wrongly think it's a fable, a myth, perhaps a literary device to point us to deeper truths. Don't listen to that. Oh, there is much literary structure here. There are many fantastic happenings in this first chapter, this introduction of Genesis. And we could spend many weeks going through in sermon series or in Bible studies these different days of what God has done. But what is before us is the story of what God has done. And this story starts in the beginning. There's nothing of this story before this verse. Everything comes after. Everything after the first letter. Now, because Moses wrote these words in the beginning as the very first words, he gives them attention, emphasis, prominence. Even more than God. Even more than the heavens and the earth. Even more than, specifically, God's glory. Even more than the word created. In the beginning is put first. It points us to how we are to understand this chapter. In fact, all of the Bible. It is a glorious story. The story God begins telling here will pass through thousands of years, many places, many characters, many events. It will find its conclusion in the last pages of the Bible, when in Revelation, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, makes clear what the conclusion of this story is. We sang of it, the song just before the sermon, the passing away of this first heaven and earth, and the introduction of a new heaven and a new earth. But that's jumping ahead. We are now at the beginning of this story. You and I are in the midst right now of the story. Now, did Moses know something of the end while he was writing this beginning? Well, he knew something of it. We're told, Hebrews 11, he lived by faith. But the one who inspired Moses, God himself, had already planned everything from beginning to end on into eternity. How amazing that Genesis, the way it begins, is brought to the conclusion in Revelation. And this shows us there is a narrative, a story, overarching every other story, overarching our lives. It gives structure, it gives meaning to all of history, to your life as well. It is, as philosophers like to say, a meta-narrative. It's a story that defines all others. It is, as theologians like to say, the worldview or the world and life view. that gives us the ability to understand and process everything in human history, everything in the life of your family, everything in your own life, according to what is really real, according to what is truly true. And the stories that humans write, the stories we read, are good morally, artistically, as they reflect this story. And so as you read stories, as you read novels, don't simply read them for entertainment, but seek to discern, what is the author saying? What is the story he or she is saying? The purpose, the message, and compare it to this one. And so too with television shows and movies that humans produce, that humans watch. They can be good artistically, morally, only as they reflect this story, this drama. Therefore, again, if you watch television or movies, don't simply watch them for entertainment, but spend time talking about them, parents with your children, to discuss the message of that story, the message of that movie, comparing, contrasting it with this one, with the Christian story. Because if you don't analyze what you watch, if you allow those stories told by unbelievers to direct and shape and mold your outlook on life, then you're not taking captive every thought to Jesus. You need to subject it to the principles of Scripture, to the story God tells here. So do you wonder where you came from? Genesis tells you. Oh, it doesn't tell you your specific family, you directly. It tells you something more, something greater. It's at your core, your being, who you are. Here's where your story begins to be written. In the beginning. And this is how God delivers His Word to us. It's what He repeats throughout this book, the Bible. He gives us stories. Stories from which we are to learn. Stories in which we read of God's character, God's work, man's weakness, man's need. This is the beginning of the story that will continue on from creation to the fall to redemption to consummation when Christ comes again. Those four are the sections of the overall story. A glorious story. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. Pointing out God's glory in nature, God's glory in grace. And at the heart of this story, driving this story, is the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth. God's work in and through Jesus. He was there in the beginning. We read that from John 1, verse 1, didn't we? He was with God in the beginning. He is God. Now we're living today, we're blessed to be living today at this stage of the overall story. After Adam and Eve, after they played their part, after Noah and the flood, after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, after Moses, after Joshua, after Samuel, after David, after the prophets, after the coming of the Son of God in the flesh, after the completing of this book. We have set before us all that we need to understand about the development of the story, the timing of the story, the conclusion, which is yet to come. So we come to our text this morning at the beginning. We, knowing already the one who has written this, the story that's been written, the author. And that's what we move to in our second point. The story's author. The story's author. And this verse says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Children, God is the story's author. Yes, He uses humans to write this story. He used Moses to write the book of Genesis. But it is God who purposed, it is God who planned the story in His divine counsel. It is God who acts to bring to pass everything in perfect conformity to His secret will. It is God who is in the beginning, who causes the beginning of the story. It is not man. It is God. Humans want to be the author. Don't we want to be in charge of our own storyline? We want to write our own destiny. We want to control it. When something goes wrong for us, we're tempted to want to change the story so that the wrong is righted immediately or never happened at all. Don't we wish we could go back and erase things? We want to control the births, the deaths. We want to control the job promotions and layoffs. We want to control the price of diesel and the contracts and the price of corn. We want to control the winner of political elections, don't we? We want to write the laws. We want to declare right and wrong in our land. But that's beyond us. It's beyond every human. And that's something we especially keep in mind today. And we remember of the evil of abortion, that it's been legal in our land now for 47 years. That's a history we would like to change. But we can't change that history. By God's grace, though, we need to pray and strive to change the future so that abortion is no longer legal in our land. And let us pray and strive so that every life is valued. So that those who are pregnant and scared know there is a better way than abortion, than murder. And let me say to the young, if you find yourself pregnant, or you know someone who is, and you don't know what to do, don't abort that child. Don't cut off that child's future. Don't put that dark mark on your own history. You don't have to be alone. Those who push abortion, they say, write your own future. Write your own story. And abortion lets you do that. You can be like God. But murder is no escape. It only makes things worse. And we as a church will help. It won't be easy, but it's the right thing to do. And you won't go through it alone. Don't stop that baby's story. The world says, do what you want, write your story, seize the day. You can determine your own destiny. But this opening verse reveals God is the author. God's the author of your story, of every story. Unbelievers kick against it all they want. It's true. God is the only one who is absolute, the only one who exists in and of himself, the only one who is. God is outside time. He transcends time. He's not bound by it. He is the one who makes the beginning. God is outside space, transcending space. It is he who creates the heavens and the earth. He's outside matter. He's outside energy. He transcends them. He creates all that is in the heavens and the earth. People of God, this is the author of your story. It's not your parents. It's not fate. It's not the government. It's not some consortium of international corporations. It's not you, it is God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is God who creates, it is God who defines, it is God who establishes life and the standards by which we are to live it. There are not several gods here, we don't read that. Several gods competing for glory and ownership. There's one God who out of nothing made heaven and earth and all creatures. One God who effortlessly created all that is. One God who created things without warfare, without disagreement, without competition. Now, you won't find that in other religion stories of how things came to be. Look to the stories of other religions. You'll find they're fiction. They are myths. Look to evolution. What do they say? There's always conflict. There's always death. There's always struggle. No. The very first stamp bears that it came from God itself. He is the author of this glorious story. He is the author of the story and all its details. Again, modern man does not like that. Our flesh wants to exalt ourselves in the place of God. Denying God's existence, man claims to say that, well, we evolve by chance. We evolve by natural forces. Forces maybe man can control, man can direct, chance that maybe we can guard against. Today, man has no desire for God. We seek to kill God. We seek to remove the author out of existence, our existence. We see in many science, so-called science textbooks of today, man tries to claim to write the introduction, claims to know how things happen, claims there's no need for God to exist. We've got it all figured out. Listen again to God's word. Listen again to this inspired account of how our story began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the one with whom you and I must reckon, congregation. It is He who fashioned and formed us. It is He who directs all our life, whether times of joy and prosperity or times of sorrow and poverty. You cannot escape Him. You cannot write God out of your own story. He is the author. You cannot remove yourself from His story. He exists. He is there. This is the story that displays God's glory for all creation to see. He is its author. His glory is its goal. The question put to us then is, how will we respond to this story? Will you in hardness of heart turn against God and elevate yourself, or by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit, will you humble yourself constantly before God and seek from Him meaning, favor, life? Now, we've just come from the Christmas season, and we especially celebrate the coming of the Son of God into our world when He took our nature upon Himself in order to redeem us. Think of that. The story's author has become one of the characters in the story so that He would rescue us from destruction. Rescue by His own suffering, His own death, His own resurrection. It's only in acknowledging His existence, only in turning from our own pride and sin, only in trusting Him for forgiveness, that anyone is reconciled. But all those who do trust are reconciled, are forgiven, no matter how you have tried to change the story, no matter what sins are in your story. Trust Jesus. Not only is God the author of the story, but He Himself is intimately involved in this story. He chose to enter into it so that we would have life. As we read that in John 1 verse 4, in Him was life. That life was the light of men. It's not only existence, it's not only being, it's fullness. This is what we were created for. The fellowship with God Himself, union and communion with Him. With the author. God is the author of this story, of your story. And like every story, there's a setting for it. And that's what we move to in our third point, the story's setting. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The setting for this story is also given right here. The characters, they'll come later. And their many stories are told within the larger story. But here is the setting, the overall setting, the heavens and the earth. It's like the stage. Now, it doesn't appear that the heavens and the earth spoken of here are the earth as dry land and the heavens as sky. Although the same word is used for heaven later in this account and earth later in this account, different days. You can see there the footnote even. Is that footnote 3, sky. It's probably what's meant by, even though that same word, heaven, is used. The sky came with the waters being separated by that expanse. What's probably in view here is something bigger, broader. Something we find throughout the Bible. Something we find on the last pages even. Heaven and earth being two realms. The realm of angels, the realm of man. Now the remainder of this first chapter unfolds the forming and filling of the realm of man. The realm of angels recedes into the background. But that's fitting, for the entire story is focused on the Son of God becoming man, coming to this earth, not becoming an angel. Yes, angels, as we know from our Bibles, they will enter into, they will interact in man's stories, but the focus isn't on them, but on the ones whom God made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. And we don't know much about the realm of angels. We gain glimpses throughout the Bible of that realm, and their realm certainly affects our realm. But the secret things, they belong to God. He's revealed other things to us, to our children, that we might obey Him. He tells us what we need to know. And he allows the veil of secrecy to remain over the realm of angels for now. We have enough to deal with in our own realm of earth, don't we? Without having to curiously inquire into the realm of angels. But here is the setting for the story, and there's no other. When Moses wrote that God created the heavens and the earth, he intended us to know that's everything. The heavens and the earth, and all that God will fashion within. Heavens and earth stand as bookends, so to speak, of God's created cosmos. All that is created was created here then. The substance from which everything will be was created then here. We speak of this as creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing, as well as creation in nihilo, creation into nothing. There was no matter, no energy, no space, no time, no laws of physics, no dimensions or strings if you're into physics, prior to God's creating this setting for the story. The universe is not self-existent. It's not eternal. The laws of nature, those aren't eternal. There is only one eternal, and that is God. And the word created points us in that direction. In the Bible, this word created is used only with God as the one who creates, the subject of the verb. It's never used of man. Now, man fashions, man works, man molds, but only God creates. It's something unique to the Creator that brings to pass the creature. And here is a marker then, that there is a separation between the Creator and the creation. The one who is self-existent from all that is dependent for its existence. Here is a fundamental truth of Christianity. There is the Creator and there is the creature. And the two are separate and they can never cross into the other and become the other, change to the other, abandon that. The creation is not an ancestor or descendant or relative of the Creator. The creation did not emanate or come from the substance of the Creator. They are separate. The Creator is wholly other from the creature. Whether rock and stone or leaf and blade or space and time or matter and energy or man or angel. God is the Creator and all else is the creature. The heavens and the earth and all that are in them, the host, as we read in there in chapter 2, verse 1. They are distinct from God. As settings and characters of a story are distinct from the author of the story. Children, you think of a book. You write a book, you write a story. You are the author. That is your story. You can't change that. Now, why belabor that? Because many of the world's religions teach the opposite. In fact, we even look at our culture. Celebrates mere men and women as gods, praising and honoring them. But no spiritual teacher, no sports star, no Hollywood star, no political or military star can ever ascend to the heights of deity. You and I, we're simply characters in this story. We're placed in the setting of the heavens and the earth to give glory to this one and only God. As the psalmist declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. From the lips of children and infants, he has ordained praise. As we'll see, although created for such a wonderful purpose, man has fallen short. Mankind has rebelled by seeking to become God. As a race, we have fallen to sin and death and ruin. But the God who authored this story, he has even that in his plan. He's not the author of sin. But he has it in his plan. And out of his eternal love with which he loves his people, he sent his son into this setting. The setting of a fallen earth, though, to take upon himself the penalty of our sin. So that we would be reconciled to this God. So that we would now witness his glory, enjoy his glory, glorify him. Our story is deeply marked with sin, but that's not how the story begins, though. We look at this in Genesis 1:1. It begins without sin. Sin is not eternal. Sin is not a co-equal power with the good God. There is no yin and yang. There is only God. He creates the heavens and the earth. He doesn't create evil. And we read it throughout, but we read it in chapter 2. And just before, everything was very good. Chapter 2, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host, and they were very good. God did not create evil. We say that all we know is that which God created. We don't mean to say that God created evil, but God created everything that is. Evil is a twisting of God's good creation. It's not a separate thing in itself. Even Satan was at one time good, but by his willful rebellion, he became evil. And therefore, the setting of the story began as a good creation. Now it's fallen. It's mixed. It's evil. Good and the evil are mixed, so that the good we want to do, we don't do, but the evil we don't want to do, that we keep on doing. It's to resolve that problem of evil that God sent his Son. Lord of creation, beginner of creation, in the person of God the Son, has taken our nature upon himself. And so the gospel story also finds its beginning here, in a sense, or even we could say before the beginning. The person of the Son of God, who was God in the beginning, who is himself God, who for us men in our salvation came down from heaven and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, and suffered and was buried. But the third day he rose again, victorious, bringing a renewed creation. He is our Creator. He is our Savior. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Creator. He is the Consummator. And all those who trust in Jesus find in him all you need. Life upon earth, righteousness so we might have eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth, all in Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, in the next months, as we move into the first few pages of this story, of man's story, of the story telling God's glory, don't forget, Jesus of Nazareth, the story finds its climax, its fulfillment in him, its goal, so that through Jesus we may offer God praise. The one who has given us life, eternal life, may he receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, the one who created the heavens and the earth, praise be to you. Lord, you have a wonderful plan. You tell a wonderful, glorious story. Thank you for including us in this story. Thank you for telling it to us and causing us to entrust ourselves to you, to find in you our own place, our purpose, fellowship with you. So as we get into your word, open our minds and our hearts to understand your word, how you created, the purpose you created it, our place in it. That we would trust you, that we would love you and love others. May you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.